You can do it at a trot, you can do it at a gallop, you can do it real slow so your heart won't palpitate. Just don't be late. Do the Puyallup. All the people and the animals down at the fair that do the Puyallup like they didn't have a care. And it looks like so much fun to do. I think I'm going to learn how to do it too.
Okay, raise your hand if you remember that one. It's the original Do the Puyallup theme, first recorded in 1976. Well, if you have not yet done the Puyallup, or the Washington State Fair, as it's now called, this weekend is your last chance, at least until next year. The fair started in 1900. It was a tiny local event. Now it's Washington's largest attraction. More than 1 million people do the Puyallup every year. Val Dumont chronicles the fair's history in a book called Doing the Puyallup. My colleague Jeannie Yandel asked her what that very first fair looked like.
The very first fair in 1900 was simply a set of displays and exhibitions and a baseball game. Baseball games were very big in 1900 because it was just coming into vogue. And there were jars of jelly and butter and all kinds of dairy products, because that very first fair was the result of dairy farmers and berry farmers getting together and saying, let's have a fair, sort of like the Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney thing. The first day, not too many people came, but on the second day, there were 1,800 people that came, and the population of Puyallup that time was 1,800.
And how much space did the fair take up in 1900?
In 1900, it was just a corner of the park and the baseball field. They put up a fence on one side so that the animals, they had cows and horses, and I don't know if there were pigs then, but cows and horses mostly. And they stayed on one side of the fence, and the people stayed on the other side of the fence. This was a rural community, and at that time, across the country, rural communities were predominant. And they were it was kind of a lonely life. So once a year, at the end of the growing season, they'd get together for these fairs where they would match their output of crops and their output of dairy products against each other and see whose horse ran faster. Those were some of the basics of the original fair. Actually, the one in 1901 was the more like a fair today kind of thing. They had a carousel. You want to know what that carousel was?
Yes.
It was a bull. It was a tame, quiet bull, and it was tethered, and it walked around in circles, and the children sat on top of the bull, and that was their carousel.
Val, you talked about some of the prizes that exhibitors would get at the fair, but there were also lots of different competitions in the early days of the fair, including, I understand, a baby contest.
Oh, yes.
How did they make babies compete?
They dressed them up and sat them in a row in front of their mothers or on their mothers' laps, and the judges would walk by and choose the prettiest baby. The most physically developed or the best physically developed baby. And in the early days, those first couple of years, the judges got so much bad mouthing from the parents about their child not being chosen that they changed it a little bit and moved to adults. In 1906, they gave awards for the fattest woman, the homeliest man, the best-natured lady, I love that one, and the hair-pulling contest.
I have questions about this, Val. What kind of prize could you win for being the best-natured woman or the best hair-puller or the prettiest baby, for that matter?
The prettiest baby was a certificate. They got lovely certificates with their name on it and the year. And some of those certificates are still around and are in the Fair Museum. But the prize for the fattest woman was a barrel of flour. Go figure. The prize for the best-natured lady was a pound of baking powder. Of course, women only were good for baking in those days. And the homeliest man was rewarded with a pound of coffee. As for the hair-pulling contest, what would you like if you won the hair-pulling contest?
A hairbrush, perhaps?
No, they got a box of headache powders.
I'm talking with Val Dumond. She's written the book, Doing the Puyallup. It chronicles the history of the Washington State Fair, which was once called the Puyallup Fair. And I understand that the fair actually closed during World War II. It stayed open during World War I, but it closed during World War II. Why was that the case?
Those 4 years during the 1940s were the only 4 years that the fair was closed. And it was closed because soon after Pearl Harbor, in 1942, the Army, the U.S. government and the Army took over the grounds. And that's where they set up an internment camp for Japanese. It's one of the darker parts of our history, but it was amazing that they in jest actually called it Camp Harmony. And it was probably badly named, but it was appropriate because the people that were inside never attempted any violence or rebellion. They simply lived as best they could in makeshift facilities behind barbed wire with guards standing in watchtowers and guard towers around the base. There is a monument that is dedicated to the, I don't know, to the shame of the event, that this was done to a group of people. And it is probably the only token that reminds people that this was done and this was condoned in those days.
In 1970, there was a fire that almost destroyed the fair. There was another fire in April of this year at the fair. There are other instances in your book where it seems like the fair might collapse, it might not be able to open, but it's always survived. It's always been there since 1900, with the exception of World War II. Why is that? Why has the fair been able to stay open and survive all these years?
Volunteers and the community, the Puyallup community, knows when the fair is about to open, and they contribute, they take part, and the volunteers that work there, some of them have been there almost since the beginning. And the original purpose of the fair still holds, to educate, to improve, and to preserve. And those three things are very important to this community. If it were ever to fold, the fairgrounds and all the equipment and all the buildings would be sold. And the results of that, the funds raised from that, would be given to a charity, probably determined by the community. No one person or no group of people own the fair.
Val, you've gone to the fair for many, many years. So what's been your favorite thing?
The onion burgers.
Why were the onion burgers your favorite?
Because I don't eat red meat the rest of the year. Mostly. And they are so good. I made friends with one of the onion burger stand people who had a stand where the family, these are all family owned places, but he had a stand where he would sing a song and to announce his hamburgers. He was known as Hamburger Myers, and that was started in the 1920s, and he'd sing these and chants. And all the employees would chant along with it, and that drew the customers there. They'd sing things like, a loaf of bread, a pound of meat, all the onions you can eat, and they'd just repeat this over and over and over again. And so that was one of my main stops. That was my stop for lunch. I like the curly fries, too. That was something new.
Val, thank you so much for talking with me. This was really enjoyable. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jeannie.
Val Dumond is author of the book Dew in the Puyallup. She spoke with Jeannie Yandel. This is the final week for the 2014 edition of what was formerly known as the Puyallup Fair.